I'm going to invite your attention for a few moments to Leviticus chapter 25. And I'd like to read with you there from verses 54 and 55, where the Bible says, "And if he is not redeemed in these years, then he shall be released in the year of Jubilee. He and his children with him, for the children of Israel are servants to me. They are my servants whom I have brought out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Now this is an interesting passage, and I wish we had time to read the entirety of the book of Leviticus chapter 25 in the discussion of the year of Jubilee. Now there are a couple of things that are mentioned in there that I just kind of want to gloss over very quickly, if I may. There is the idea that there was someone who became so poor, so destitute, so in debt that they sold themselves into bondage to someone else. A willing selling themselves to someone else to be an indentured servant. Another thing was is that someone becomes so destitute or they're unable to maintain their land and they sell their land to someone else. Now, all of these things would be able to be restored back to them in the year of Jubilee. And I encourage you to read Leviticus 25 to get the full picture. But that is a type of something I want to talk about to you for an evening such as this. Many of us, if not all of us, have a debt of some type. One of the types that we mentioned here was a slavery in debt. Perhaps it's a car loan, maybe it's a mortgage, maybe it is a credit card balance, a personal line of credit, maybe it's something down at the feed store that you owe because you have a Goodwill down there and they lend you or allow you to come in and get and you go and do your business and pay them at the end of the month. Sometimes, however, debt is such that it chokes out our lives in terrible ways. And it causes us to do things that we ordinarily would not do. And we sacrifice those things that we know that are good and that are proper, that we otherwise would not think of sacrificing, but we do in order to pay down these debts. And far too often we allow the very fabric of our spiritual lives to be part of that sacrifice. We work around the clock. We seek respite in order to have rest from our labor. And sometimes while taking advantage of such respite, we miss opportunities to do the things that we know that we ought to do. And the problem there is we become slaves of the lender. Now, we shouldn't be surprised about this. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22 and verse 7, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant of the lender." Jesus even warned us about having an attachment to things to such a degree that we become its servant. He said in Matthew 6 and 24, he said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." A lot of times we get out of debt and we get right back in it and a vicious cycle continues. Well, there's a second type of thing that I mentioned that is there in Leviticus 25, and that is physical slavery. And we know that slavery is a terrible and unjust system in which human beings are treated as mere property. They are owned, being bought and sold accordingly, and are unable to withdraw unilaterally from the arrangement that they have found themselves in. While a person is a slave, the owner is entitled to the slave's labor without any remuneration back to the slave. Now, in some places today, slavery still exists. And I hate to say that, but slavery still is. And it has been. And as far as I know, the world will continue and slavery will still be a part of it. Doesn't make it right. But the fact of the matter is slavery is a hardship. Whether you have been captured and made into a slave, whether you were purchased or born into slavery, or even whether or not you sold yourself to be an indentured servant, slavery is a hardship. Now, I want to put on our imagination caps for a moment. Can you imagine, in either circumstance, can you imagine what it must be like to be free? Either from this slavery in debt or slavery in the traditional sense. Can you imagine what it would be like to be able to be free and to be clear? Can you imagine the flood of joy flowing over you as with each step you were brought closer home, as you were released from slavery? Can you imagine the feeling of relief that would surround you as the realization that you are no longer in debt came to mind and came out in fruition in front of you? Can you imagine the happiness that you would have with the chance to be able to start over? Indeed, the idea of being able to go home, to being able to be free and clear, is an awesome thought. Homecomings are a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful thing to be with family and friends, those who love us in spite of our failures. Oh, to be with people who love us and care about our well-being to such a degree that they will even sacrifice for us. Oh, what it's like to be loved by those who love us unconditionally. What a thought, what a joy, what sweet peace is there to be found. Well, during the year of Jubilee, that's what happened. They were made free. Everything in the life of the Jewish nation was to be restored back to its original. Everything changed. All debts were canceled. All land that had been bought and sold was then returned back to the original owners to whom it belonged to when they came out of the land of Egypt and entered into the promised land. All indentured servants, all of these slaves would be released. The year of Jubilee reset everything. Now imagine again with me our what if scenario. What if the congregation gathered here at Hartford Highway printed out the flyer that said, anyone who attended the 2015 Alabama New Year's meeting was going to be forgiven of all of their debts? Would that excite you? It would excite me. It would make me feel very good. In fact, do you think that there would be greater attendance? Of course it would. The floodwaters of the surrounding rivers could not keep brethren home. They'd all be here. There would be no one staying home due to a headache, backache, or a sniffle. Everyone would be here. Only those who were truly homebound or hospital-bound would not be here, but everyone who could would. What if everyone in this community then heard that as members of this congregation, this church family, that each and every person's debt would be paid off and that they would get a brand new start in life? What if they heard this? Do you think our building, do you think these facilities could hold the crowd that would be here? No, there'd be a veritable sea of people everywhere you could see. And the feeling that comes from that, that is the idea of Jubilee. But you know, that is all a type of something else. It is a type of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus had come home from his temptation in the wilderness, and he announces that he himself is the Messiah and bringing Jubilee. Read with me, if you will, from Luke 4, verse 18. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, another way of translating the acceptable year there would be Jubilee. Jesus is saying that he is the embodiment of it. Jesus is saying that the effects of his ministry were real and palpable, that they could be felt, and the intended fulfillment that had been foreshadowed in the type of the year of Jubilee. Now, it's amazing to me that the year of Jubilee finds fulfillment in Jesus and in Jesus Christ alone. Only in him can you find that feeling of release, that feeling of restoration, that feeling of rest that comes to you. And that's what I want to mention to you this evening. In Christ Jesus, we find ourselves released. We find ourselves set free. We find ourselves no longer enslaved by the devil. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Now notice this idea of resist. If he were your master, you could not resist him at all. If you were his slave, you could not resist him. But the fact of the matter is that he is not our master any longer. We have been set free, released from servitude by Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. But with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. We are released. And there is nothing that is so crushing, no temptation that is so great that we cannot bear it and overcome it because of the promises we have in Christ Jesus. Now in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 11 down through verse 18, We understand that we are bought back, released, we have been redeemed by Christ Jesus. He says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as God, or rather as the children, have partaken of the of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, listen to this, that he may through death, or rather that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. We no longer have to fear death. We no longer live in fear of the consequences that might come from that. But brothers and sisters, we have the ability to go to him. I love that when he says that he does not give aid to angels, but he gives aid to the seed of Abraham. That's us. You know, angels who walk about him and see him as he is, and we who live by faith and not by sight are cut out of two molds, if you will. We do not get to see him as he is today, but he gives aid to us in that he was made like us, and he is not ashamed to call us brethren. And because of that, we have been released, we have been redeemed, and we have our brother, Christ Jesus, to call upon. Now the Bible tells us this way in Galatians 5 and verse 1. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has also made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Brothers and sisters, we have a great opportunity in living a Christian life not to be entangled in the yoke of sin any longer. Let me make real quick one more point about this. I still got time, by the way. The fact says this, that Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe, but one that I could not pay. Consider there are four ways to sin: by thought, by word, by action, or by inaction. If I commit just four sins a day, one of each, that's 1,460 sins a year. Over the course of 50 years, that is 73,000 sins. And it only takes one to alienate me from God to the point that I cannot do anything of myself or hope to pay to be released. But Jesus Christ went to Calvary that you and I might be able. You will either pay for your sin eternally or accept the payment that Jesus Christ made. Remember, he paid a debt he did not owe, a debt that you could not pay. And therefore we read that Jesus was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Number two, very quickly, there is the idea of restoration that is mentioned there in the book of Leviticus that is foreshadowed in Christ Jesus. With Christ Jesus, we are restored to a dignity of being, and we are able then to no longer be slave or servant to the devil, but rather we're in the kingdom of God. And God is in the business of this restoration. I love what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, when he says there that after we have suffered a while to perfect us, to establish us, to strengthen us, and settle us, to complete us, to build us up, to strengthen us, make us stronger, and make us be at peace. That's what it's about now. No longer enslaved to selfish addictions, no longer all those things that might rule over us, but brothers and sisters, that we might be able to be what God intended us to be. I want to encourage you tonight to become what you were designed to be. That is a person of faith, a person of trust. And I am convinced that nothing moves the hand and heart of God like faith and trust of his children. It doesn't matter to me what the economy's like. It doesn't matter to me who's in the White House. It doesn't matter to me what's going to happen to Social Security or health care, or whether or not there's an army on our door, or whether or not there's insurgents among us. It makes no never mind to me, because God is in control. God is in charge, and he will see us through. Now, because of this, we need to stop listening to our head and to our own logic, and we need to start empowering our faith and our trust in God. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Very quickly, one last point. We find rest. Now, everybody knows that we're thinking and talking about an eternity in heaven and rest to be found there. But I want to tell you, the Bible tells us that rest is available to us here today. In Matthew 11, the Bible says this, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We read that passage of Scripture. And we go and we kneel down and we pray and we ask the Lord to remove our burdens from us. But you know what we many times do? We get up off of our knees and we begin to walk around and we say, "Lord, you know what? This is just too much for you." That's the way we act anyway. We carry it back on that shoulder again and we hunker under it and we go all of our separate way with it. Never once do we truly leave it at the feet of Jesus, who has promised to bear our burdens, who has promised that if we will take up his call, his banner, his yoke, that we will be able to bear it. You know, we continually look for that heavenly home. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, today we need to be concerned with here and now and finding rest and giving it to him. How could you not feel revived? How could you not feel rest? How could you not feel restoration? How can you not feel release? You know, that's something to cheer about, brethren. That's what we have in Christ Jesus. You know, we don't know whether or not the Jews ever really fully did the year of Jubilee. But the truth of the matter is that it is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Today we have a responsibility to follow after him, to know him, to find our release there. And it does not matter what holds you captive today, whether it is your past fears, your past failures, your addictions, your self-righteous attitude maybe, procrastination, your secret life, your anger, your stubbornness, whatever it may be. We don't know. We don't know what holds you back. But experience the restoration of your true humanity. Let this be your lifetime of jubilee in Christ Jesus. Whatever is holding you back, I tell you, the Heavenly Father and Christ Jesus, his Son, are ready to remove it.